The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will hear the Gospel of Matthew and talk about the Word of God. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi wants you to know that they are still open. Yes, their building at 615 Oliver Court is temporarily closed, but they are still alive and well and helping families on a limited basis and by appointment only. They're offering help through their emergency aid food pantry, emergency aid financial assistance, and other services. But you must call ahead and you must make an appointment. Their number is 361-884-0651. CatholicCharitiesCC.org. The Catholic Charities Flower Bluff Food Pantry is closed till further notice, but the main facility is open for business. But again, you must call ahead, Monday through Thursday. Again, their number, 884-0651. Catholic Charities, helping where it's needed.
Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Middle of summer.
Middle of July, and I say it's going by too fast.
Well, that's life.
It is life. Everything's going. It seems like the older I get, the faster it goes.
I was going to say, that's life for us older ones. The youth don't quite get
that impact. Yeah, the 9 and 10-year-olds, summer's just dragging by.
That's right.
Again, we have a wonderful gospel from St. Matthew, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word today.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you. But to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They will close their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted. And I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no roots and lasts only a little time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches chokes the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this week's gospel, we had two versions. We had this version, and then we had the shorter version. So if some of our listeners hear the shorter version, which was Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 9, it'd be nice if they could go back and read this longer version, because it is just so rich in detail.
Right, because really, I mean, in the second part of this gospel, Jesus is explaining these four modes, I guess you might say, the four modalities of receiving the word of God. You know, I used to, when I would teach in the seminary, I'd say, you know, if Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life, which we believe he is, we know he is, then he contains all truth, even the truth of psychology, you know.
True.
So, in essence, he was the best psychologist.
Right.
So, when you look at the explanation of these four modalities of receiving the Word of God, you see he knows what he's talking about. He knows life. He knows what it's about. And we can certainly look at each of those four. But I think just to reiterate what those four are, that the seed, of course, that he's speaking of here is the Word of God, of his Word, that he's sowing, really, in his 3 years of public life here on earth. He's speaking, he's performing miracles, ministry. And so all of that is the Word of God. It's like sowing. Of course, now we have such methodical machines that plant the seeds, but the sower, of course, is one that threw the seed and that landed where it will. But as he says, some fell on a path, which really has no roots, on rocky ground, among thorns, and then on rich soil. So a sower hoped to get as much into the rich soil as Jesus wants to in his word in order for it to take root. But it would be really, I think, maybe helpful to all of us to review those four modalities of where are we? Because it's really like an examination of conscience.
It is an examination.
Of looking, what's my relationship to the Word of God? I mean, even if some of you are on the way to Mass today or on your way to church, and the Word of God is going to be proclaimed, how will you receive it? And that's a question we should ask every time we attend. How will we receive the Word of God today?
Well, and he did this through parables, and this is kind of the first of some of the parables that St. Matthew's going to have for us in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're really like a mirror to us, very much so. You know, are we going to be the hard soil or the good earth for his word?
Right. And it's really, it's a chance, as we go through these, it's really a chance to know ourselves and to examine ourselves and in relation to the truth of God's word. So let's look at the first one. The first one is that the sower sowed seed and it fell on a path. The birds came and ate it up. Now that's the parable.
Right.
On the path, the birds came and ate it up. When Jesus, in the second part of the gospel, in the longer version, which you were citing, he explains what that means. This is the person who hears the word of the kingdom, the word of God, who understands it, but then the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. In other words, there's a closed mind here. A person can take it and say, yeah, I understand what he's saying. But for some reason or for some in some way, there's what we would call an unteachable spirit. That could be because of prejudice. That could be because of pride, of an immoral life. And so I can understand it with my mind, but I have a closed mind. I'm not allowing the word then to sink deeper into me to bring about a change, a conversion of my life, of my actions, etc. And so the person who is like the person who where the seeds fell on the path is an unteachable spirit,
that
a hardness of heart.
They can hear it and maybe understand it, but not agree with it.
Right. That could be another thing. I can get started on a path there too of how we come and we sit and analyze what Father or the deacon or the preacher is saying. And we're not there to analyze.
Right.
We're there to listen with our hearts. And so if we don't come with that, going back to last Sunday's gospel, with that childlike simplicity to receive the word, even if I don't agree, I'm not there at that moment to disagree or to agree, but I'm there with a teachable spirit, with an open mind, so that God can speak. That's God's word. Now, we can get off on a tangent here and say,
right,
if somebody's promoting their own causes, that's not right, and that needs to be corrected. But we're here in that moment to speak the word of God and to speak the teaching of Christ. And so we need to have all of us who preach and those who receive a life without prejudice, without pride, and without an immoral background. In that way, we open our mind to receive the words of the kingdom with a teachable spirit. The word often we use in spiritual direction is docility. We have to be docile in front of God's word.
I love the word teachable spirit.
Yeah.
It's
really true when you think about it, how unteachable. You're not going to tell me anything.
Right.
I already know it all. That's the kind of attitude that this represents. The second one is the seed that falls on rocky ground. It is the one who hears the word, receives it with joy, so as a burst of enthusiasm, but it has no roots, and it lasts only for a time. These are people that jump on the bandwagon, every bandwagon that comes along. The newest thing, the latest. We live in a throwaway society, and so easy come, easy go. It could be because of being self-centered. It's kind of whatever fits my way of looking at things, my categories of thought, and that's a very self-centered way, and that's not the way we can approach the Word of God, because we don't have it. It's not ours. It's God's Word. It's a transcendent word. It's the person that takes all this with emotion, but we can't live faith life on emotion. It has to sink deep into our life with love. And so again, that docility of spirit, that teachable spirit has to be there, and not just jump on every bandwagon. Here I think it's like the Lord is asking us to use our minds. Let not only our hearts be touched, but also our mind. Let it take root. This one does not take root because it's rocky ground. We love it, but then we're off to do other things.
Well, when you said jump on the bandwagon, you know, the cheerleaders, and I'm thinking, and then the hard work comes, and you're off of the bandwagon.
Exactly. We jump off as
exactly.
Quick as we get on.
Right.
Sure.
Right. So that would be the rocky ground.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to take a short break, and then we will come back and discuss the rest of the parable.
Great.
The term shalom is usually translated as peace. Often, however, when concepts are moved from one language to another, something is lost in the translation. Shalom encompasses much more than the absence of external conflict or internal turmoil. Shalom is the state of condition of experiencing what is needed to live a fully human life, one that is not wanting in any of those elements we consider essential to complete the development of one's personal potential and therefore the richness of community life. For the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament, these essentials include a rich and invigorating relationship with the source of all that is good, the source of all life. With the opening of Shalom Place, the Spirit Center now offers two significant settings for encounters with this God who is love. The Spirit Center is available to groups of all faith traditions. For more information, visit BlunzerSpiritCenter.org. To book your next retreat, call 361-888-7537. Till then, Shalom.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, you were talking about the different sections of this beautiful parable, and we were on the second section that was talking about the seed sown on rocky ground, and everyone's just jumping on the bandwagon, but then, you know, they're ready to jump off pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jesus says it so well that it has no roots and it only lasts for a time. And so it's kind of the temporary commitment. But when you look at our life as Christians, as followers of Christ, because Jesus loved his own and he loved them to the end, there's a note of permanence here. And so this one of rocky ground and has no roots is really speaking to us. Let's not just jump on, but let's stay on. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're
for the ride.
Asked, exactly, because to live the gospel is demanding. I mean, it's not, well, I've done that, so I move on to the next one. No, it repeats itself. The Word of God is constantly there in our life. So Christianity has demands. It requires responsibility and commitment. That's why these are, when we were baptized, it's a permanent sacrament, or we're confirmed, it's a permanent sacrament. It's a permanent commitment of ours to receive God's Word, which we'll see when we get down to the soil with rich mm-hmm. Soil that the Word of God receives there. So this is, again, talking to us who jump on and jump off real quick, or mm-hmm. we're there on Sundays, but we're not with the Lord the rest of the week. That means the roots of his Word, the transforming power of his Word, is taking no root in our life. Mm-hmm. We're Sunday mm-hmm. Catholic, Sunday Christians.
Well, and this should be a mirror for us if
sure.
we do that. That's a,
right.
That's
and this
a
is, certainly going through these is not to judge or condemn anyone,
no,
but it's
no.
a wake-up call to all of us.
Exactly.
Where do I fit? And if I'm in one of these that is not a permanent lifestyle of being a Catholic Christian or a Christian, that then we're being called this Sunday to wake up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to change.
And the third one, Barbara, really gets into another, I think many of us, and some of these are not just characteristic for the rest of our life. It may be one day we're one and one day we're the other.
True.
Days can have different characteristics. But the third one is the seed that is thrown among thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but worldly anxiety and the lure of riches chokes the word and it bears no fruit. This is the busy person, the person that gets on every committee, the person in every organization, the person that does not know how to say no, the person who worries about everything, which we all tend to do so mm-hmm. easily, and forget that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He's overcome every anxiety. That's why I like in the prayer after the Our Father at Mass, deliver us from all anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, the anxieties of life can eat us up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Jesus, as I call him, the great psychologist here, the one right. that knows human life, knows that there are things in our life that really cause us to be anxious. And when we become anxious, we tend to rely on ourselves. We go into, how can I solve this? How can I get rid of this anxiety? Instead, the Word of God calls us to faith, to believe in him, to come to him. As we heard last Sunday, those of you who are burdened with your anxieties, come to him. Sit with him for a while. Be with him for a while. Listen to his word. And even there, those anxieties can diminish, I would say, fairly quickly if we give him a chance. The other one is being too busy. I find this in my own life, and I'm sure you too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all
right.
of us out there, we find ourselves way too busy at times. But the world needs us, you know. I remember at a retreat once, had a little question and answer session mm-hmm. with the retreat master, and one of the priests was talking about all these things that he was involved in, and the retreat master, with great patience, just listened. And he looked at him square in the eye and he says, the world doesn't need you. It needs Jesus Christ. And it was like, okay. So we need to really look at ourselves. Do we need to be involved and busy with all these things? Because maybe we're neglecting other things. But the last of those is the lure of riches. Unfortunately, many of us don't know how to use the, we're not good stewards. And so the more we have, the more we want. Mm-hmm. And we just keep going after more and more and more. And that kind of a spirit, because that takes time, that takes energy, that takes spiritual energy out of us. And if that is our mentality, the more, there's something going on in us that is so distracting that we cannot hear the word of God. It cannot take root. And so there's another thing that we all need to look at. And again, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you know, look at our society with advertising. What is it meant to do? It's meant to hit that core passion of ours to have.
I need it.
And so you go into a store. I love that statement in grocery stores. Did you find everything you came for or whatever? And I sometimes laugh, I found that and more, you know,
right.
Because you pass down this thing, oh, I'm not sure I have that. I think I may need that someday. And you find yourself just picking up little things. Mm-hmm. And that's a small situation, but it can speak to us of bigger things in our life that I have to have more. Mm-hmm. And that chokes out the Word of God.
Well, and you had mentioned a while back that with the lure of riches, when we were talking about stewardship and when it becomes more important than God,
yeah.
It's okay
yeah.
to acquire, but it shouldn't right. become more important than God.
Right. And that's where the interior life gets choked out. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we were talking about last Sunday, the exterior and the interior, I can maybe be there or maybe be there this Sunday to listen to these words, mm-hmm. but am I really there?
Right.
I'm physically there, but where's my soul? Where's my heart? Where's mm-hmm. my mind? It could be choked out by all the anxieties, the lure of riches, you know, the busyness, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And so I'm not listening.
You're thinking of everything on your to-do list.
Yeah.
Instead of really internalizing what's being said.
It's sad sometimes, but I kind of chuckle inside as soon as the priest gets up to speak. It's like you can just see some minds wandering to other places. It's like, but are you listening? Did you hear?
Mm-hmm. The word?
I went to a meeting, I won't say what organization, years ago, and at the opening of the meeting, we had just come from Mass, and the person conducting the meeting went around the room and asked if anyone remembered what the gospel was that we had just heard. And I was shocked. No one, except me, but I was giving the homily, so I had to prepare it, so I knew what it was. But no one in that room remembered from just an hour ago what the gospel was. No one remembered. It was shocking.
But they immediately went someplace else.
Right, and I think that this is that third one. We're either anxious, we're busy, we're distracted, and so we're not hearing. And the Word of God is a powerful, transforming word that can change us. So that leads us to the last one, the beautiful one, mm-hmm. where the seed is sown on rich soil. This is the one who hears the word, understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and yields 100, 60, and 30-fold. This means the person who has faith, that is thirsting. The Psalms, the beautiful Psalms, say, my soul is thirsting for you, the living God. We should really come to hear the Word of God with a thirst, thirsting for truth, thirsting for God's Word in our life. To do that, I would really recommend to all of us that we learn the meaning of silence. And that is the challenge. One of the big challenges, I think, of today is to appreciate silence. And I don't say that. I say that for myself, but also Pope Benedict said that in a mm-hmm. sermon just recently.
Turn off your iPod.
All those
Turn
things.
Off everything.
Yeah. Because that's how we till the soil.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning over the soil of our life when we add silence to our life. I was talking to some confirmation kids the other day, and I brought this up to their attention right in the mm-hmm. Mass, and I stopped for silence. And It was amazing. The whole church got silent. And when they got silent, they looked.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about silence that we're missing. We think the more words we speak, the more we're going to make our point. The more people are going to hear us. The more we're going to convince someone. Take the other route and just be silent. Personally, but also maybe in a conversation, is use silence. Because that is, to me, the true core of the rich soil. And the rich soil that receives and hears the word of God. It's through that that we learn to meditate. It's through that we learn to understand and study the word. And of course, then Jesus also here speaks of bearing fruit, which means the word, once it's received like that in that rich soil of an open soul, a teachable spirit, is then able to live it out and to apply it to each event in their life. And that's the rich soil.
So we're going to start with silence, which sounds easy, but it's difficult.
It's not easy.
So it could be, would you recommend start with 5 minutes a day?
Sure. Beginning of the day, first thing is just stop and be quiet.
Turn off everything around you.
I can't say it enough. Mm-hmm. Even for my own life, it's just to turn it off.
Well, that's a good challenge for us. So we're coming to the end of our program, but I wanted to ask you, what can be some of these acts of kindness that we can do to help us get to the kingdom of God?
I would say it's any and everything, every action, if it's done with love. Put love into everything. I think I've quoted this before, St. John of the Cross said, where there is no love, put love, and there you'll find love. Where there is any act of kindness, do it with love, and you'll find that that little act of kindness becomes a huge thing. There's nothing that is too small or too indifferent if it's done with love. Everything becomes huge.
Okay. So silence and the acts of kindness.
Everything, right.
Wonderful. All right, if you could close our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
God, our Father, your light of truth guides us to the way of Christ. May all who follow him reject what is contrary to the gospel. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.